Dominic, wedding DJ.
And this is Serena, wedding planner.
And together we are
the wedding duo.
We are here to talk all things weddings.
Planning a wedding can be stressful, but we are here to help.
So before you say, that's it, we're going to Vegas, don't go to Vegas.
Let's have some fun.
Join us as we answer your wedding questions and help navigate planning one of the biggest days of your life with
The Wedding Duo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back for yet another episode of the Wedding Duo podcast.
Here we are, and we are exhausted. It was a long weekend, but we have a guest for you, and we're excited to get into our topic for today and talk to him. But I know you have a story to tell.
I have a story. The weekend was supposed to be a one wedding weekend, which is easy. And then there was an open house that popped in on Sunday. We're like, yeah, we can go to the open house. You had a wedding on Sunday also, with one of our DJs.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday, I got asked to DJ the PTA fundraiser at our kid's school. And
which
then Thursday,
like in his element.
Yeah, the Thursday had a corporate event pop up last minute. So it turned into a four event weekend. But the highlight was absolutely the PTA. Which, how many times can people say that in their life? But it was like all the kids came out, beautiful weather. They had missed it for a couple of years. So everybody came out. It was packed. And I'm up there just DJing, doing my thing. And my first grader comes up and says, Dad, me and my friends want to do a conga line. I go, hey, go ahead, lead it. This is good DJ training. And he goes, no. He picks up my wireless mic, hands it to me. And he goes, take this and you're leading us. I go, okay. And it was fantastic. Me and 20 little first graders. I was like the Pied Piper of first graders.
It was adorable.
Walking
honestly.
Through the food court. I was waving people in. Get in line. Nobody, like, they all just
the
like.
The parents were like mortified thinking about getting into the conga line. I think they were like, this man is crazy.
Well, they were all sticky faced and covered in silly string. And nobody wants to get in that line.
Except for you.
Except me.
But lots of fun. We are tired. We had a busy weekend. We have one coming up. But today, we've got a riveting topic for y'all. And I say that because I know it is something that comes up a lot for not only the couple, but best man, maid of honor, parents. We're going to talk with our friend Brian about giving toasts at the event. But I'm going to first let him introduce himself and give you a little information on what he does.
Well, thanks for having me. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm Brian Franklin. I'm the co-founder of Vows and Speeches. We primarily work on wedding speeches, custom vows, and ceremony scripts for internet-ordained officiants that don't have a lot of experience doing that. We do other things like proposals and other kinds of events, but that's pretty much the bread and butter of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, and it's super important, I think, because it's a form of public speaking, right? And I think sometimes couples and the people that they ask to give a speech or a toast don't really take it as seriously, maybe as they should. And so for you to offer this service, I think is so valuable for anyone who has to talk in front of a lot of people, right?
Yeah, these moments are actually one of the hardest forms of public speaking because they're so filled with emotion. They're filled with high expectations, and often alcohol's involved. It's not the same as a business function necessarily, where you're getting up in front of an audience of your peers or something like that. This is often a very critical audience, and sometimes one filled with strain. And these are not necessarily professional speakers. Not everybody's expected to be a great writer or a great speaker. These things don't always come naturally to everyone. And so we're just there to give a little assistance in both the writing and in the delivery.
I mean, I can't tell you how often people are winging it. And that's something I ask. So during dinner, I go around and I always have a list. Best man, maid of honor, father of the bride, father of the groom. Those are the usual suspects. And I go around, I find them. I go, give them some quick mic etiquette. Like, here's where we're going to do it. Please stand on that side of the table because we're taking pictures and video. I want you to orient your body this way. Don't stand here. Look that way because people are taking, I know you have a great backside, but nobody wants pictures of that. So go around the table, stand next to the couple, face yourself this way. The mic's pretty good. Hold over is comfortable. And then I say, do you have notes? Or are you winging it? And I mean, so many people are like, best man's like, dad, I'm just going to wing it. I'm like, okay, fingers crossed. But you're right. It's not in most people's comfort zone.
No.
And these are things that are avoidable. I'm sorry. These are avoidable problems. These are problems that exist in almost every wedding at some level or another. And it's very rare that all four wedding speakers are perfectly prepared and have timed out their speeches and have the good sense to not say certain things and so on and so forth. It's very rare to find that. So I think it's really incumbent upon couples to think about, you know, who's speaking in my wedding party, and are any of them going to have trouble with it? Are they going to be afraid of public speaking, or are you afraid of what they're going to say or what they might do? And are they people that would be more likely to wing it?
Well, and the other thing that I think some people don't think about is what's the order. I mean, I mentioned the usual suspects that are giving the toast, but if you have that one person, if your maid of honor is just big energy, hysterical, great in front of a crowd, let her go last. Don't let the shy best man try to follow that, because that's just setting the stage up against him. He's like, great, thank you. Thank you, Madeline. I got to follow that, right?
Yeah. And so I was going to ask too, like, Brian, so tell us a little bit about how the process works, like working with you, and like, what are some of the like tips and pointers that you're going to give these folks for not only writing, but delivering?
So the first step of the process is the interview. And I think that's really the most important part of it. We're seeing a lot of talk about AI and how AI is going to transform writing, but you wouldn't really want to talk to AI as your therapist per se. and some of the interview involves a little bit of psychotherapy, because we're teasing out feelings, and we're getting people that aren't always comfortable talking about their emotions or about their love, and getting them comfortable enough to do so and to give answers and tell stories and that sort of thing. And so the interview is the most important part. It is a very fun endeavor, I think, for most people. It's we have a good time with it. And a lot of times we're just laughing. And I'll ask questions that range from the obvious, like, how did you meet? And what did you think when you first saw them? You know, was this love at first sight and that kind of stuff? But we'll also talk about the things that go wrong. You know, what are some of the pet peeves that you might have about each other that you tease each other about? You know, what are some of the things that make this person different than other people? And do they have any weird quirks? Do they not eat mushrooms or something, like whatever it might be? And then we'll talk about how those things play out, and I'll ask, like, who is the better driver in the couple, things like that. So at any rate, what you wind up doing is you get this interview, and hopefully, if you've done the interview correctly, the writing comes very easily, because it you're taking a 35, 45 minute interview and distilling it down to 1 to 2 minutes of vows or 3 to 4 minutes of speech, and it's not really hard to find the material. Sometimes it's hard to pick which ones you're going to leave out. And so that's, we do the interview, then we write the draft, and they get unlimited revisions. And once they have a draft that they like, then we encourage them to practice it on their own, practice it out loud. I'm one of those types of speakers that I need to practice. I don't feel as comfortable speaking extemporaneously as I do when I'm sitting there, and I've practiced the stuff out and I've word for word. And after a while, you start to get a rhythm to it, and it stops sounding like something you're reading. It sounds like something you're saying. It sounds more conversant. And then eventually they'll book a session with us, a practice session, which comes with every package. You can book more if you want. But in that practice session, typical tips we might give people would be, emphasize this word for comedic effect. Draw this out, right? This is the joke line. Make sure that you're pausing for applause. Don't plow right through the applause line, because, or the laughter line, because that's something you want them to hear the next line. You're setting up one line to the next. Put some more dynamics in it. Smile, put that smile that you have in your head, put it in your voice, right? And, things like that are pretty common. And usually what happens is they go in a lot more confidently, and that's, they get excited. And if they're people that cry a lot, then they've desensitized themselves a little bit, because they've already said the words enough times that it doesn't have quite the potency as when they were saying it the first time.
That's like, that's comedy 101, stand-up comedy 101, where you talk about people will miss the punchline if they start laughing at something, and you're like, they just keep going because people do get nervous, and they're like, I go, wait, stop. Let them laugh. That's why you're here. Mm-hmm. Or let them cry. That's why you're here. Right. Like, it's that's great advice. And reading it through, that's like public speaking 101. Know what the heck you're going to say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just kind of, we touched on it a little bit. A lot of people think that they'll be okay winging it. And what happens a lot of times that we've experienced as vendors is they go a lot longer than they maybe want to because they get nervous and they don't know how to end. Not necessarily the vows, but the toasts, right? They feel like time kind of stands still when you're talking in front of people, right? And so you don't have a good like gauge of how long you're actually talking, it can really be uncomfortable for the guests, for the couple, you know.
It becomes incredibly boring. Incredibly boring, right?
I mean, tune it out.
Yeah, I don't, you know, not to belabor my ADHD, but like, you know, I think part of this was started because I went to too many weddings and I'm just like, and I taught speech writing to politicians, right? And I've seen people go on and on. It's hard to watch the clock when you're talking. Let's start with that, right? If you're winging it and you don't know where you're going and how much you're going to say exactly, and you're just running off some bullet points, you're just riffing. And you're concentrating more about what you're going to say than how long it's taking. And so when you're doing that, and if you're not specifically trying not to speak much, then you're just going to speak too much. It's just natural. So you have to stop yourself, and people, especially when they've had a few drinks, just to get the courage to do this or get loosened up a little bit, then all of a sudden it's going on for 10 minutes. And now you've got cold food, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the other thing, when I talk to the couples, if they do say they're winging it, or even if they have notes, I say, do you have something at the end that's some sort of so let's all raise our glass to the newlyweds? Because they don't. They'll end it like, okay, that's all. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, it wasn't really a toast, but, you know. Or what happens if they are winging it, they'll say, I've had many a best man be like, and I love you guys, and you're great together. And remember that one time at spring break, I'm like, no, that's not the story. That's for the bachelor party. That is not for the wedding day. I always tell them, if you get stuck and you're at the end, you lose your train of thought, raise your glass and say, cheers to the couple. And everyone will go, cheers. And then end it. And scene. Yeah. Like, we're done. Yeah. Like,
this is not your time for, this is not your big shot for stand-up comedy, right? You're not there. You're not there to, you know, knock everybody's socks off with your humor. You're there to give a gift, a tribute to the couple, and you can be funny doing that. You hopefully will be, but if you try too hard, it's going to go badly. and if you're not an experienced stand-up comic, then you've got to weigh your options here with the couple in mind. And ultimately, the couple knows who's going to do this, right? That's, I mean, for those couples that are out there listening, or brides or grooms, you know, just think about who you're putting up there. And what they might say, and the chances are they're going to say it if you don't give them some kind of guidance, right? So just, you know, do no harm is the first thing here as a wedding party speaker. But really, I think if you're spending X number of dollars on your wedding and you look at these sections, whether it's the ceremony or your vows or this big speech section, which really should run ideally, you know, 15 minutes at most, right? In terms of total number of speeches, however you break it up. Right. But you really want them to be 3 or 4 minutes long, you know, and really no more if you can avoid it. But that's a chunk of your wedding. Right? In a 4-hour wedding, that's 8% of your wedding or so, right? So you really want to think about, how valuable this time is for you and as a couple, and what you would be willing to do to make sure that part is as good as the rest of the wedding.
And what are they sacrificing, Serena?
They are absolutely sacrificing their party time.
Dance time.
They don't.
That's the part I get. We want to get to the dance floor.
We know how important for most couples getting to the party portion, having that time to celebrate is. And exactly what Brian just discussed, you know, if you're going over 15, 20 minutes, you're definitely eating into a portion of your party. Absolutely.
And if you don't put those guidelines on, like you said, like if somebody like me who likes to talk, if you tell me 3 minutes, I'm going to go 5. So if you don't give them any guidelines, mm-hmm. any parameters to say, keep it at 3 minutes, but if you want to do 30 seconds, knock yourself out. But if the first person goes, because I've seen it where father of the bride is the lead off person and he talks 10 minutes and the best man who was winging it, now he feels, okay. I guess I'm supposed to talk that long. Like, no, you did, like you set the bar at 10 minutes and now that person's going to go out and match it. And two people, yeah. I thought it was going to be real quick. It was two people. It was like 25 minutes for the two of them to be done.
This is why you have to read it out loud and time it, whether you're doing your own vows, if you're reading a ceremony, whatever, you have to encourage your wedding party speakers to do this, because people don't know what 3 minutes looks like on a page, right? At 12 point font, 3 minutes might be a page and a half, two pages, a page and a half, maybe with normal margins, if you've broken it up a bit, but different people speak at different paces. And so you have to, and people are going to laugh if you've done this properly. So there's going to be time there. And so reading it out loud and timing it is so critical, because you have people that come in and they have 3 pages worth of material and you're like, that's not 3 minutes, that's 7 or 10, right? Depending on how you were going to read it. And making, that's if you don't wing it a little bit. Right. And I'm going to throw an extra story in there because, hey, this is, I'm really rolling. Right.
Yeah. And they get off, it's really easy to get off script. And you see them sometimes where they have their paper and suddenly it's down at their side. They go, yeah, blah, 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 and they're going on and on. I'm like, that's a lot of paper they have there and they haven't looked at it in a minute. And then they go, oh, where was I? And I'm like, okay, settle in.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute. I was going to say too, I think sometimes people get encouraged by, like, they tell a joke, right? And they, but it's like not your time to shine. You're there for the couple. You're there to, you know, congratulate them and make them the highlight, right? It's not, like we mentioned, like your opportunity to practice your stand up or whatever that is. Like, let's keep that the focus, that's why you've been asked to do this, is to, you know.
Yeah. And that's why, and that's one of the roles that we play, is to cultivate the document and make sure that it has the pieces that need to be in there. And if it's the ceremony, making sure that people say, you know, stand up and sit down and, you know, here's what's next and things like, you know, put your phones down. But when it comes to things like wedding speeches, where if you really authentically want to do a good job and you want, and you care about this, you may not, your instincts might not be correct. You might want to put all of your time into the person you know, and because you have all of these stories, and then you forget to talk about, you know, who they're coupling up with, right? And that's a challenge for some people, because it, you know, fathers of the bride, we run into this a lot, where they forget to talk about the groom, and you have to reinsert that. Well, yeah, but how do you feel about this person, right? okay.
Because sometimes by not saying anything, you're saying a lot.
Yes, right? So we don't wanna, it can speak volumes if you leave that person out.
His whole side of the family is there. Yeah, and they're like, so nothing about John? No? Okay. Is there drama?
Yeah, the ratio is really important. You don't want 9/10 of it to be about one person, right? It gets conspicuous when you're just touching on somebody, right? And even if you don't know that person very well, or you've only interacted with them a few times, you came from out of town, you've only seen them a few times at different things, there's plenty of things that you can talk about. You can talk about how you see them interact when you do see them. Yeah. You can talk about how your friend or your sibling, the sound in their voice when they talk about the other person, right? Things like that you can get to that are beautiful and romantic and sweet and can be funny sometimes, but don't require firsthand knowledge of this person or how they are generally, right?
Because that's a powerful thing. When somebody says that, they say, I've seen, you know, my daughter, she dated a few guys or whatever. When she met you, it was different. You're still talking about your daughter, but you're talking about how she was, heard her interaction with him, and you're still talking about it, but like, it just shows, like, I knew this was a different one, you know, like right when I met you the first time, I saw the two of you together. That is powerful stuff for sure.
Mm-hmm. And how do you, Brian, like, so explain, you talked about like the interview process with you guys. But is this something you commonly see like couples going through, obviously with vows, but do you talk mostly to like best man, maid of honor, parents, like who is
it's all over the map. It's all over the map. I mean, I think we're almost evenly divided between vows, wedding speeches, and ceremonies. It shifts some, you know, sometimes, but I think overall we've done about a third of each. And the ceremonies are great fun because not only do we interview the couple individually, we also interview the friend or the family member that knows them, that's doing the officiating, and get their perspectives. What have you seen? How have they changed since they've been together? That kind of thing. And we'll get, you know, and if they're married or they have, you know, have some things to say about it, what are some of your thoughts about what makes a great marriage and what kind of advice would you be, you know, would you like to provide as part of your ceremony, that kind of thing. So we'll integrate all of that. You know, I think from the standpoint of wedding vows, that tends to be so, it's so important for people, and they're so frustrated sometimes because there's a lot, we get a lot of panic buyers, of course, people that thought they were going to be able to write it. And at the last minute, they decide, oh my God, this is, I've got 1 week left and I know I'm hitting the wall here. Right. And I think it just underscores that you could be a great writer, but when you're talking about someone that is the love of your life in the biggest moment of your life, then you're going to run into some issues in how to edit it, right? There's too much to say. There's too much to think about, too many memories. So having somebody walk you through the process and help edit that and pull out some of the great stories that define you as a couple or define why you love that person is really a helpful thing for people. And it's one of my favorite parts of the job because you can just feel how important it is for them. And you know, you're getting them a step further. It's hard to ruin this, right? I mean, you can make it, you can only make it better. Really. You know, it's one of the few parts of the wedding, I think, that it's almost foolproof.
Well, and do you find too, it's funny you mentioned like the last minute thing. I think because it is so overwhelming, and for the couples out there listening, I know you probably have spent some time thinking about your vows and what's going to be said and how you're going to do it. But I think a lot of times it's emotionally overwhelming. And so it can be easy to put it off, right? Because I've gotten to the point in the day where I've gone into the bridal suite and they're writing their vows there.
I've seen it with then, the groom all the
or
time.
The groom, right? You know, because it's just, and I don't think it's out of like bad intention, like they forgot or anything like that. I just think that it's heavy and it's hard. And so
no, the groom forgot. He forgot.
Well, and this is part of this is our fault because, you know, we have a responsibility to make sure that couples know that this service exists in the first place, right? The first threshold is, I didn't know there was help. We have help. We can get help. So that's something that's incumbent upon us as a business. And I think wedding planners that hear about wedding planners or DJs or videographers, you know, that hear about us and want to make sure that their couples know that that exists. That's step one, right? Step two is understanding your own limitations here, right? You're going to run out of time. Right. There's going to be more things to focus on than this. So by starting this much earlier in the process, and we have some couples that have started this a year in advance, and it's great. They can do as many drafts. They can sit with it. They can massage it. They can practice it for months if they want to. Right. And so prioritizing this just to get it off your list and to get it done and be truly happy with it and be truly prepared. That's something that I would hope that couples start to think about. And it's also something that you want to budget for. I mean, we're not talking about something extraordinarily expensive here, but it's something that if you are on a budget, you want to make sure that you make some decisions. Do I want to maybe cut back a little bit on flowers in exchange for having the words be a little bit better, that kind of thing.
It's usually not one for one. If for the two of us, like I'm probably more comfortable talking in front of a crowd than you are.
Probably.
So it'd be one of those things where I could write our vows like 10 minutes before we go and then have a few bullet points and wing it. Although you're better than you give yourself credit, but it would almost be like, if this is you and your couple is like, well, he's a great speaker. He's good at this stuff, but I'm worried about it. It doesn't need to be maybe even like, help me match his vows. Right.
That's a lot of it. Absolutely. We get a lot of that. We get a lot of our couples actually ask, or it'll be one or the other that will come in and they're the only one that needs help. And they often don't want the other person to know that they're getting help, right? They want this to be confidential, and which is fine. We have to respect that. I think it's a little, I wish that was not the case, obviously. And I would have liked the people to know that you can get help and it's still going to be coming from you. It's still your words. It's still your voice. It's still your decision, right? And it will be your words and your voice. That's part of the writing process. We interview you. We can hear what you're saying. We're using a lot of your language, if not all of it, and putting it together perhaps more artfully. And there'll be times where we'll come up with something, but then it's up to you to say, yeah, no, it wasn't something we invented. It's something that you conveyed to us, right? We've created a sentence out of something you've conveyed to us. So at that point, it's up to you to say, you know what, that's exactly what I meant to say, or that's exactly what I want to say. And if you do that, then it is coming from you, and that is your voice, and you're the one looking into the eyes of the person saying it, right? So I think there's a fundamental fear that some people have, which is, oh, this is not going to be me. And it's not the case. It's going to be you. It's just going to be you, but a little bit better, much in the way that your hair doesn't look like that every day, right? You've got a hairstylist for your wedding, right? We're going to make this better too.
My hair looks like this every day. I was thinking, like, when you said, like, maybe it's a secret, we don't want to know. I can only imagine seeing your fiance's with an email that says, my vows. I'm like, who's Brian? Who's Brian that you're writing these vows to? You're like, no.
Yeah, I always have to ask. Like, if we are on a covert mission, I always have to, like, do we communicate by text?
Yeah, like, how are we doing this?
I'm not trying to ruin
it. We don't want to ruin a wedding here.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, tread lightly. Easy on this. Okay.
Let me tell you. Yeah, someone looking at it quickly. Let me tell you how much I love you.
Know? Yeah, they're like, wait, what is this? So tell us, Brian, just real quick for the listeners. Now, we're not going to give away all your secrets, right? But what is, like, your number one or maybe one or two top tips, you know, for, like, writing out a speech or a toast or even the vows? Yeah. Like, what is your...
Well, I think I mentioned some of them. For the speeches or the wedding toasts, you want to service the both sides of the couple, right? You want to make sure that you address both of them. You want to give them some wishes for the future. I think you want to make sure that if you're saying something funny from their past, that it is not involving an ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend, that you don't talk about someone's sexual life, or what a wildcat you've heard they are, you know, whatever it might be, right? I mean, I've heard it all from planners that have told me their horror stories. So yeah, so you want to make sure that you're being careful. And perhaps over careful about what you're saying about them and what they do. But really I think you want to make sure is that you're conveying how you feel about them as people. And that's assuming you like them both. And if you don't like them both, which happens, right? If you don't like them both, then you need to lie a little bit. And, yeah. And you need to be generous and recognize that this is their day. This is their investment, both in money and time and labor, and they care about this moment, and they're in love, and you should respect that and try and give them the gift of a wonderful speech towards them, even if you hate the person's guts and you didn't really want to be here to begin with, and you know, and you really don't think they're perfect for each other. It's really not the point, and it's really not the place for you to weigh in on.
She doesn't let me play Call of Duty. She doesn't let him play Call of Duty anymore. Like, okay.
Yeah, I gotta be careful here as to not identify them, but I had an instance where the person giving the speech was actively unhappy with the person one of the couple, right? Someone that they just don't like them. And I'm like, we're trying to find redeeming qualities. And they're like, well, like they know how to make the money part from the wallet kind of thing. Right? And we're like, oh, okay.
Like, no, you're like, and how do you put that in and not sound just like,
yeah, no, we worked on that a little bit longer. That's, you know, it doesn't happen often, but that was a 1.5-hour interview instead of a 45-minute interview. And so we lost a little bit of money on that one, but that's okay, you know, because in the end I think we saved the wedding. So, right. They were going to go up there and say some things, and we made sure they didn't, you know? And so I think that was good.
So you're a filter too. You like implement a filter. That's good.
Oh yeah. That's another thing. Like, AI is not going to tell you what not to say.
That's right? A good point. They're just going to write what,
AI is a great tool, and it's going to be very helpful to our business in terms of reducing some labor costs down the line. But I think a lot of it is just knowing what you shouldn't say, and not everybody knows that. So, especially people very close to it.
Those are great, great pointers for people. And, but I think something that you touched on is super important. Knowing that this service exists, that this is an important piece of the wedding day, not only the vows, obviously, but the speeches, and getting help for those things is available. So I want to give you an opportunity, Brian, to tell the listeners like where they can get more information about what you do and find you.
Sure. Well, first you can go to vowsandspeeches.com. That's V-O-W-S. A-N-D, speeches, speeches.com. We're also on Instagram, that's the same, Vows and Speeches. You can write me an email at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at vowsandspeeches.com if you'd like. Or, we have a team of writers, we're growing, we're hopefully expanding very quickly this year so that more and more couples will just know that this service exists. And we've been very lucky and blessed with some good press. And I think a lot of wedding planners and vendors that are very enthusiastic about the service being there for people, because people do come to them and say, hey, we want to help. So, we're hopefully this will be easier to find as we go along and a bigger and bigger part of the business. It's just something that I think we have to, it's one of the last areas of the wedding that doesn't have widespread professional guidance. And I think that's something that we need to correct as quickly as possible. And we're trying to.
But it's also one of the highest stressors of the day.
Exactly.
Vows, and anytime they're going to be addressing the crowd, the ceremony alone is by all means, it's a small part of the day, but the pucker factor is higher there than any else during the rest of the evening. So to know that there's somewhere that can, help with that stress.
I would say that the ceremony is one of the most, it is a small part in terms of the amount of time, but if you look at the importance of it, so many people that are not experienced officiants will just go online and grab a generic script because they don't really know how to write an 8 to 10 minute narrative that tells the whole story of the relationship and gets all of everybody laughing and crying and has all the requisite parts of it. And I think this is your opportunity to get, and same thing with the vows. If you personalize them, you get people to lean into the day, right? Then now people are invested in you as a couple, and they might not know you as a couple. They might not know how you met or what you're like together because they came from out of town or they only know one of you, that sort of thing, right? So I think this is your opportunity to create and set the tone for the entire rest of the day or the evening. Get people leaning in, get people invested in it. And then people are going to be treating it very differently than if they're just sitting there hearing the same speech they've heard a million times and just waiting for cocktail hour to start because, they're sitting in the beating sun, right? So, I think the ceremonies have, I did not expect ceremonies to be such a big part of our business when this came up. And it's my favorite part of the business because that's really where you get to get into their relationship in a big way.
That's awesome.
I love it. Well, guys, this has been super helpful. And I think that because we know the couples out there that this is a stress point, we like to offer you resources like Brian and Vows and Speeches, because we know that you're probably going to go Google and figure out how to get help now from Brian. But we try to cover a multitude of topics and help our couples, nationwide, worldwide, find resources like this so that they can have a better day and they can stress less while they're planning, right? That's the point.
And one last thought on just the speech or the toast part of the evening total. If usually it's four people, try not to go over four people. If you have nine people that you want to have speak, your rehearsal dinner is a great overflow, like push some of those people there. Or if you have that aunt that just, she gave a toast at my cousin's wedding and she went on and on and on, give her the rehearsal dinner because nobody's on the clock. You're not burning any. I mean, obviously, maybe you got to be out of there, but you're not like, let her say her piece there. Or maybe if somebody's overly nervous, maybe I've had it where his dad spoke at the rehearsal dinner and then her dad speaks at the ceremony or the reception, whatever. But that's a good little overflow.
blended families have, you have a lot of blended families that where you have, you know, not, and then it's not just the father of the bride and the mother of the bride wants to speak to, and, you know, and it's not really about tradition. It's about people expressing their love and whatever their role is in your life. And then you might have six people involved now, or seven people involved that are all have an authentic claim to the microphone. Right. So you, you want to give, you know, that's a great, that's a great point, because we do run into a lot of people that do it at the rehearsal, and if they're incredibly shy, do it in private even.
Yeah. Yeah. Write it out, or, you know, and just give it to them or say it to them just one-on-one. That's a great idea too.
For sure.
All right, Brian. Well, we're going to let you join in on our, what do we call it?
Send off.
That's what I was like, wow. I do send offs for wedding every weekend. And I can't remember the word.
You had a wedding last night. So you're a little,
I'm a little sleepy, guys. I'm sleepy. All right. So go for it.
So we always end our podcast by saying the same thing. It's a very personal day. So don't let somebody talk you into something you don't want to do, or talk you out of something you have your heart set on. Just do, look at your fiance and say, what do the two of you want to do? And decide from there.
Yes.
There we go.
Very important.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you so much, Brian, for joining us. We really appreciate you. We will make sure that you can find the link to his site and Instagram handle in the show notes. And you can watch this episode on YouTube. And find all the information there as well.
Brian, you know, we always blow a kiss at the end. Get ready. Here we go.
Ready? Are you ready, all Brian? Right.
We're getting in on this one. All right. Mwah.
Thanks for having me.
I knew you would. I knew you would. I like you a little bit more all of a sudden.
appreciate you both. And thanks for having me.
Yes, yeah, of course. Happy wedding planning, y'all.
Hey, so thanks for listening to our podcast. If you found any of this information helpful and you know someone who may be engaged or is a maid of honor, maybe you could tell them and share it with a friend.
Absolutely. So screenshot this episode, share it on Instagram, on Facebook, and tag the wedding duo. We promise to share the love back. Also, if you are interested in more resources or the show notes, you can go to theweddingduo.co. We have one-on-one virtual sessions, a shop, all sorts of fun stuff. Check it out.